Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and today is, May the 21st, 2022, and you tune into the TMTS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMT and the Michael Gay Network. I normally say happy Saturday, and I'm hoping you're having a good Saturday, but it comes to discussing the topic or the story that we're going to start the show off with today is not happy. Because I'm going to tell you why in a moment. By the way, it's 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast. And today's stories are a variety of things we're going to talk about. But the first one I want to bring to our attention is the Buffalo shooting of last week. Then we're going to talk about racism in America. And we're going to kind of lighten it up a little bit. We're going to slowly try to look at certain other things and get a little lighter, you know, because I don't want to do 2 hours of this. I don't want to, but I just don't want to do 2 whole hours of this madness. But if need be, we will. Okay, if need be, we will. We'll talk about racism in America, and then we'll talk about a story that my co-host Janet Davis brought to my attention about robocall. The guy sued and won the lawsuit over all the robocalls he was getting. And then I'm going to kind of give you guys a little backstory about the Black Music Honors that occurred this past Thursday night here in Atlanta at the Cobb Energy Center. There was a bunch of music icons, not these fly-by-night artists. These are icons, okay? whose music has been sampled, have been re-recorded, have been performed numerous times, and these individuals are still performing. They're still here with us, but they're icons, and they definitely deserve, you know, their flowers while they're here. So I want to say this. Last week, last Saturday, just before we went on air, Janet texted me about something that was going on in Buffalo. And, I mean, I'm talking about just minutes before we went on air. And so she was sending me some information, and then I was trying to Google it to see what's going on, and it was just little bits and pieces that were coming out. It was in Buffalo. The report was shooting at a grocery store. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, be another, you know, racial claim. But, you know, I didn't have much information as of yet. I didn't have much information then. They weren't saying, because I don't live in Buffalo, I don't know the Buffalo area, never been to Buffalo, but, you know, I didn't know at the time that this was a majority black community. I didn't know the backstory about this area at that time. So I chose not to get into discussing it while we were live because we didn't have enough information, at least I didn't feel we did, to speak about it at the time last Saturday. But then when the numbers started going up, first they said 7 people, then they said 8 people, then they said 10 people, then I knew, okay, this don't sound good at all. And then when I found out it was in the black community and it was a white individual, I was like, oh, here we go. Here's another racially motivated attack. Here's another Dylann Roof out there. Again. And then as time went on, I started reading more and learning more about how it all went down and about the killer, how this was planned this whole thing. And started getting more information. And I'm going to open up your mics in a second, but I started getting really mad then. I really did. I'm very upset. And when I started reading the backstory about the grocery store, how they had been fighting for decades to get a grocery store in their neighborhood, and then the ages of the people he shot and killed, and the stories about the victims, infuriated me. So today we're going to talk about this, and I want to get everybody's process on this. And where do we go from here? And when do we stop saying, or when do they stop saying, oh, well, they had mental issues? Because it seems like every single one of these young kids, and this is a kid, he's an adult, but in my mind, he's still a kid. By law, he's an adult, but in my mind, he's still a kid. And we're going to talk about racism in America. Where is it born and bred from? We kind of know, well, not kind of, we know the answer. So right now, let me go ahead and open up the mic and greet all the co-hosts and let everybody say hello this Saturday, and then we'll get into the conversation. Hello to the mother of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Hey, Michael. I know how you feel. You know about the, like you were just talking about what happened in Buffalo, but I'm originally from upstate New York, Rochester, 45 minutes from Buffalo. So it did impact me a lot last week as I sat throughout the day watching the news about all the stuff that was transpiring, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, I too was upset and had mixed emotions about, you know, what was happening again.
Right. Again. Let me go ahead and open up the mics to another co-host from my East St. Louis, in L.A., by way of East St. Louis, is Mr. Timon Shook.
Good afternoon.
What up, Mike? How are you?
What up, brother? I'm here, man. I'm hanging.
If I sound a little hoarse, that's because I had a gig last night and was late. I actually talked about this last night on stage.
Mm.
And people go, man, how do you make comedy from that? I make comedy, and I'm not looking at the murder. I'm looking at why he claims that he did it. He said he was angry. And he said that we're trying to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're 18 years old. What are you angry about? You don't pay
right.
the bills. You ain't paying no rent. You ain't paying no, you know, you ain't paying the mortgage. Hell, you didn't even pay for the guns that you got. You know, you're living on somebody else's dime, you know. And I said, it's amazing what makes somebody. And so because you're angry, you say, well, okay, I'll deal with this issue. I'm going to go get me a gun. I'm going to get several guns. And this is how you deal with your angry issues. And then they said, well, hey, he was on Facebook and, you know, he got radicalized.
Right.
Man.
And we're going to get him out of there.
But what I said was, I said, well, if you wanted to start a race war, why did you do the punk move and go shoot up black people who ain't got no gun? If you want to be Mr. Badass, Nick, man. Take your sorry ass to the hood. Go to an actual ghetto and get out your and start shooting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Compton.
Okay.
Go.
Dylan Roof, same way. You got something against black people? Go kill.
Yeah.
Go really mess with some black people who you know gonna put a bullet in your ass. That's gonna pull the Matt Turner move on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to the local barbershop and see if you make it out alive.
Well, no, he goes to the hood where they fighting and where you can catch one. They know they'd put a bullet in him.
It would have been over with. Let me open up the mic to another co-host. Well, I still consider him a co-host. Officer Crenshaw, what's up, my brother?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Crenshaw.
Hey,
Michael, what do you mean you still consider him a co-host?
Well, I still consider him a co-host. He's part-time, right. He's a part-time co-host.
No.
Anyway, Jim, how you doing? Wink.
Wink. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Fred.
No, I was just going to say the world we live in is crazy. And Simon has the antidote. He has the cure. Because the only way you're going to get past it is laughing.
Okay. But we have to see results of what's happening. We have to see some results of where this is becoming too real and it's becoming too much of an issue. And when we look at I'm not just saying just the mass shooting in a black neighborhood, just mass shooting of these young people who are getting hold of guns. And people are saying, you know, there's one side that says, I have the right to bear arms. Okay, yeah, you do. I believe in that. But at some point, we as a people should have the right to say, no, you don't, if you are a threat to society. It's just like the person who is a felon, he can't vote anymore, right, in many states. He can't vote anymore. He lost his right. It's like driving a car. You get too many DUIs, you are revoked, in some cases for life. It should still apply, in my opinion, all this is in my opinion, with gun ownership. It should still apply. And the thing is that, just like Tyler said, this is the 18-year-old, still, as they used to say, wet behind the ears. And he's mad about what? You've only been on this earth for 18 years, man. What could you have possibly learned to hate black people so much? You would have the thought process to go out and murder senior citizens. who have built the community up.
It just means that the hate that's in him is stronger than the hate that's in the rest of the world. Because we all have a tendency to look at one another and say, well, damn, is he white or black? Is he Korean or Chinese? And a lot of it's being fed through the elderly that feel like they're losing out and missing out. You know, as far as the supremacists, they're losing out and missing out because it's too many of someone that's different than them here. Well, shit, you should have left us where we were at. Then you ain't got to worry about us trying to replace you. But you were greedy. You wanted to force us to come here.
What's not being taught. Because here, again, I want to throw in the term that we spoke about last week, critical race theory. Critical race theory, there's a lot of politicians that are so upset about that whole topic of critical race theory, which is, to me, the truth. Teach the truth. I've said this many a times on this show. When I was in elementary school, yes, I was taught about slavery, but it was sugar-coated. It didn't show me the whiplashings and the raping that went on during that era. I didn't know about that. I wasn't taught that. I didn't learn that until later on in life. The truth about racism, or I'm sorry, slavery. I didn't learn that until later on in life. In elementary school. And like they say, oh well, they were happy to work here. They were happy to be here and away from Africa. They were happy to be away from the king of that particular country, to be here with Americans. That's what I was told when I was a kid. But look at what these kids are being told today, these racist kids. And we're going to get into the racist kid who went and banged on the door later with a whip. Okay? We'll talk about that story. But this massacre, church and a sanctuary of prayer, sat there for a long time when he could have contemplated and thought about and thought it over. Do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? And you're sitting in the house of the Lord and Satan tells you, yeah, go ahead, do it. And afterwards he walks away. When they pick him up, he gets treated to Burger King. I mean, really? After we went through all this shit of officers shooting and killing unarmed and even legally armed black people, now we got individuals out here, and we're going to get into where a black-on-black crime, can't ignore that. We can't ignore that. So when we look at this story with this guy, he live streamed it. He had a manifesto. Again, what happened with the breakdown of social media? How come Facebook, how come Twitter and all of them can't catch this? They'll kick you or me off there just for saying certain words wrong, for playing the wrong music. But how come they couldn't catch that? Him live streaming a massacre. It makes you wonder. Are certain things allowed and some things are not?
Well, Mike, they're not going to put that out because they make money off of it. They're not going to stop it. That part of that, remember, conflict sells. And the longer I continue to sell conflict, people buy it, ads come up. They put a lot of stuff into that. So your chances of getting, you're asking a logical question, but that's not going to get answered because those people really aren't concerned about it. Everything's about money. You know, their focus is money, always has been. I mean, even when they were showing the stuff over in Indonesia and they were killing the people, you know, they didn't stop that. They didn't stop letting those people put that stuff out there. Mm-hmm. They promoted it. That's how he became a trillion-dollar business, because it makes money. And they don't think they have any control over it. So, you know, it's a good question to ask, but I don't think that they're going to do that. I just don't. I don't think they ever will. I don't think they want to deal with those issues. And as far as this guy, you know, having a, you know, he had a manifesto. He had, he's been radicalized. And that's why I always said, can you imagine if Jim Jones or Charles Manson were, had the stuff that these guys have today? You know how hard it would have been to get a manifesto seen in the 60s and the 70s? Now, okay, it's done within seconds. Everything is done in seconds. And they buy it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I knew we were in trouble. Mike, I don't know if you saw this, Officer Crenshaw, or Jan, I don't know if you saw it. I knew we were in trouble in our society when they started letting when you saw grown-ass men playing video games, and you could not get them out of the house. When you saw a 40-year-old man arguing with a 10-year-old about a video game, I knew we were in trouble.
Mm.
I knew it. Because they said this is going to make your life convenient. Every time they said that what's supposed to make our life convenient, it's been more of an inconvenience. As good as the Internet is, it has a lot of stuff that we don't need to know and does not need to be out, because in the wrong hands, it could create problems. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to see it coming. You didn't see this 18-year-old coming. You didn't see the cat in Las Vegas at the Country and Western thing who shot all the top 50-some people. They didn't see that coming, and they helped him take his guns up to his hotel room.
True.
You're exactly right.
He took all his stuff up there.
Our world,
and you couldn't get it.
Our world is dumb as hell. When we were growing up, if you wanted to find out something, you had to go to the encyclopedia. Now they just talk into their damn phone. They don't have to actually do anything.
You know, I like what Timon said about video games. We've touched on it before. I just looked at a listing of the number one ranked video games, list of best-selling video games. And this is through Wikipedia. You can pull it up as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the number one ranked is Minecraft. Okay. If I'm reading this right, 238 billion or million? I think that's million. It should be million sales. But second place is Grand Theft Auto 4.
Mm.
Okay. And that's made by Rockstar North. That's the developers. Publisher is Rockstar Games. And then, you know, you got the Call of Duty, you know, games. And as many of you know, I work in the electronics department at Walmart. And constantly, and all those games are locked up, okay, at least at my store, are locked up in a case because they will steal them in a heartbeat. But I'm literally, they will steal them in a heartbeat. And it's amazing when I see the parents come in, and many of these games have a rating. And even when I scan it, it will say, is this person 16, 18 or older? And I will be like, okay, and I'll say to the parents, I say, hey, look, this game has a rating. You okay with purchases for your child? Yeah, sure. He knows it's just a game. I'm like, okay. You know, the violence, the blood and gore in some of these games are pretty graphic. You know, you may look at it as just a game, but it's pretty graphic. But you buy this for your kid. And then that kid comes out of that bedroom one day, and he's got that mindset with some of these kids who have gone out here and shot and killed and murdered in real life did play a lot of these games. You know,
Mike, I had a black kid at my job, 14 years old, shot his mom in the back of the head with a 38 while she was eating a taco at the dinner table because she had messed with his Xbox game.
Mm.
How dare you mess with my game? You interfered with my life. You know. How dare you?
The problem is a lot of young children, they look at these games and they play them and they shoot and kill people. And then the next day they go back and play the game again and those same characters are there. You know, but when, in real life, when you shoot, you don't come back. And guns have been on the rise since Obama came in office. I mean, the fear, I guess, that we were going to take over was more prevalent then than ever before. 158%.
Well, let me say this also, somebody has some song in the background, and I think I just opened up the microphone to soon to be host of her own show on the TMGN. Please welcome to the show, Cotton Kimbo.
Hey everybody! Hey, I'm sorry, I'm out here feeding the homeless, so forgive me. I didn't know my mic was open, so I'm just talking.
No problem. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I was listening. I heard what Simon said about grown men playing video games.
No, that's true.
But it tickled me at the same time because I said, knew he was in trouble when he got grown men arguing with 10-year-olds about a video game.
Video game. But it's true. It's definitely true. I've seen it when I'm at work. I look at when they're trying to decide between what game, because these games are not cheap now. You think about certain game consoles can run you anywhere from $300, $400, even $500, depending on if it's a Xbox, if it's a PlayStation, if it's Nintendo. PlayStation is top of the line, okay? There's no doubt. Then I would say the biggest seller is going to be Nintendo. The Nintendo Switch, and then comes Xbox. Xbox kind of drops down. But I see where, you know, when they come to buy games, and some of these games can start at $30, $40, up to $50, some even
more.
Hey,
I'm on that show.
Janet, your mic is open. But when they start debating over what game they want to buy, you know, and I've seen, just like he just said, where the dad and the son would fuss over what game to buy, and the son would overrule the dad. It's literally, dad, no, we got to get this one here. Call of Duty, whatever, you know, Black Ops. I'm just standing there, I'm like, really? I do not own a game system. I thought about buying one, but I said, for what? What do I want a game system for? Why am I going to sit up in the house for hours on end trying to beat a computer? Because bottom line, it is just a computer that you're trying to outwit. And it's so funny. Someone posted, it's funny that today, when you make a call or when you try to do something online, that man created the computer, right? And it's so amazing that where a robot will ask you if you're not a bot. Think about it.
Right.
But let's stay to the topic at hand, this shooting here. And what I want to do is this, because as I said, last week when Janet sent me the text just moments before we went in there about what was going on. And then later on, we found out a little more. I just want to give you guys a little listing of the people that lost their lives. Celestine Chang, 65, cancer survivor, churchgoer, bingo player. Roberta Drury, 32, beloved daughter and sister who moved home to help her brother fighting cancer. Andre McKinnell, 53, stopped at Tops to buy his three-year-old son a birthday cake. Catherine Kate Massey, 72, a writer and civil rights and education advocate. Marcus D. Morrison, 52, school bus aide, survived by his wife, three children, and a stepdaughter. Hayward Patterson, 67, father and church deacon. And church deacon who fed the homeless and gave rides to neighbors. Shout out to Cotton, doing what she's doing right now, feeding the homeless. Aaron Salter, Jr., 55, retired police officer who died trying to stop the gunman. Geraldine Talley, 62, expert baker and friend to everybody. Ruth Whitfield, 86, beloved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother who was caretaker of her husband. Pearl Young, 77, who ran the local food pantry and loved singing, dancing, and her family. 7 years ago, we commemorated some of the many lives that have been cut short in mass shootings in the United States. Sadly, the list, which we have updated and republished, was far from comprehensive. Even sadder, no, even more maddening, is that it has grown only longer. When terrible mass shootings have occurred in other nations, governments have responded with sensible gun control measures that have helped to prevent further tragedies. The lives lost in Buffalo and all those before them must be a spur to action. You know, but here's the thing. I'm going to switch gears from this shooter and the event that happened, but not totally switch gears. Because here's something that happened just recently. This little boy gets mad, or whatever he did. I don't know if he was mad or whatever. This little boy goes to a neighbor's house and bangs on their door with a whip. By the way, he's white. The neighbors are black. And, I mean, if you haven't seen the video, please pull it up now. And the black family, the husband, goes over to the white neighbor's house. Now, they caught this video on their Ring doorbell. This is a little boy. He couldn't have been more than, what, 7, 8 years old, Janet? Something like that?
Yeah. He was bullying the little girl, their daughter. And, right, so that was and then earlier that day it was an altercation, I guess, out of after school on the way home, you know. So I guess he decided he needed to get a whip and whip her. That's horrible.
But now it's on the Ring camera. They show him walk up, whipping the door, and the mother, the black mother, comes in and tells him, hey, look, little boy, you need to get away from my door. I'm going to call the police. So the black father goes over to talk to them about it. The white father has a gun in his hand, doesn't believe what the black father is telling him. The black father is saying, hey, man, it's on my video camera. He's basically saying, I'm not making this shit up. The white father says, you're accusing my son of doing this. He didn't accuse. He told you he did it. It's on video. And he tells the black man, get off my property. Now, Janet, what happened after that?
I had read that he had the gun in his hand, and then when he pushed it back, it went off. It and I guess a bullet, and his daughter was standing behind him. He could have killed his daughter. That's why the police ended up arresting him.
So they arrested him for endangerment. Officer Crenshaw, wouldn't that be endangerment, sir? Crenshaw, are you there? Okay, I guess.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, that's reckless endangerment, reckless conduct. I'm working on my daughter's car while I'm on the show as well.
Okay, no problem, sir. So reckless endangerment and conduct of a minor, which probably would carry more weight as far as the charge, because it is a child, an unarmed child, not an adult. So they did arrest him, right, Janet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to understand, what the hell is going on? I mean, in fact, I'm not trying to understand it. I see it, but I want to hear you guys' thoughts. What the hell is going on with these kids and parenting now? Because I'm not going to just blame white parents and the actions of these white kids. These white parents are definitely the reason why their kids are acting out the way they are. That's how I feel. But at the same token, the black kids that do the same thing, not necessarily like shoot up, because you don't hear about black kids shooting up schools, but the bullying and everything goes on. The disrespect to elders, everything goes on, you know, as black parents. So parenting skills, it's racial on the white side, and there are racist black people too. But let's address this one thing with this shooting up the black community, and then let's look at where what I'm saying is that really the white folks coming. Because think of this: this guy drove 200 miles. He planned and plotted to go to this particular. He had been there before. This grocery store, it took a decade for them to get cops to come to this neighborhood, okay? And now it's a killing field. Whether cops will reopen or not at that location, I don't know. I hope they will. And if they don't, I challenge any major grocery chain to attempt to do so, because it's not the community's fault that an outsider came and did this carnage. The community
He even asked one of the white women, I guess, that was working there, why was she working there in a place like that? You know, like it was a crime to even work in a predominantly black store.
Oh.
So he was sick. Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. I'm wondering, you know, if cops will reopen. But then again, I want to look at the thing of where, because I think that some of these individuals, and I'm pretty sure you probably heard, was like, well, they don't care about themselves, meaning us black people, because of the shootings that we have among ourselves. I saw a video where there was a shootout at a 7-Eleven just this week. Fortunately, nobody got hit. Close range. These two guys are shooting guns at each other, close range, and fortunately no one was hit, and they're still at large. Both of them are still at large. So I'm going to shut up, and hopefully if you're listening to the show, if you have any questions or comments, please hit the number one or go to the chat room. If you don't want to talk on air, a lot of people don't really care to talk. But you can go to the chat room. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. The chat room is open, and you can post your question or comment there, or just hit the number one on your phone, and I'll see that you're waving your hand, and I will let you share your question or comment. Coleman, I believe you're about to chime in. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, Mike, with the parents, you know, when you know, a lot of times with juvenile hall, the kids committing crimes or things, and this is starting even earlier and earlier. I mean, of the issues of kids, and you know, parents are turning their kids over to the police department or their they don't want to address the problem. Not my junior. My junior wouldn't do that. And yes, your kid is doing, like the little boy that went across and kicked the door and the black woman told him, go, don't come back over here no more. And then you try to go over and have a discussion with the father. If the father goes off on you, as that guy did, the brother, and pulled out the gun and started shooting, now you know where the kid got the problem from.
Mm-hmm.
All those who do not address the issues that you have, your own personal demons, that stuff gets transferred down to your children. And then they carry it until somebody deals with it, until there's some type of psychotherapy, some type of therapy that breaks the cycle. If not, you will produce the same thing. Like it's like when kids find if a parent commits suicide, there's a chance. If a kid's if a parent's an alcoholic or a drug addict or is never home, or destroys a child's personality or degrades them or puts them down, it was probably done to them too, and they passed it on. Some parents believe in beating their children because they were beaten. No structure. Mm. The first thing they start doing is slapping and beating, but they don't try to talk to them. And then they don't understand that that person could eventually carry that damage into adulthood. And could affect them, you know, really bad. That's why kids that grew up in the ghetto have PTSD. A lot of people got it. They got PTSD from growing up in a negative environment.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I think, Jen, I might have shared this once before, but I remember back when I was a kid, when I lived in California, and I grew up in a very diverse neighborhood, to be honest. There were Asians, there was Hispanic, there was black, there was white. My best friend was a white guy, Paul Schaefer. No, not the one that played on the David Letterman show, but that was his name. There was John Brackenridge, you know, and I remember one day, John and I got into a dispute about something, whatever, and John spit in my face and ran home, and I chased his ass all the way to his house. He ran into the house. I ran into the house after his ass. His dad, I mean, his mom was cool. She was kind of weird, but she was cool. His dad was, like, real quiet. He was like Archie Bunker. Well, not the mentality of Archie Bunker, but just quiet, just sat in his chair. And when he saw us both bust through the door, he was like, hey, what's going on here? I said, John, spit in my face. He went up to the son and smacked the shit out of him. And I was like, that shocked me, to be honest. They told him, don't you ever do that again. And I was in shock because I thought, you know, that I would never see anything like that. I thought it would be like, okay, hold on. John, why did you do that type, you know, conversation? No, he just literally smacked his kid in the face. He believed me. He didn't have to see it. He believed it. And he told him to apologize, and John apologized. See, you didn't. I mean, you took the situation for what it was. If you understand what I'm trying to say, you took the situation for what it was. His dad saw me chasing him. Obviously, he did something, right? But when I told him what he did, his dad didn't approve. His punishment was smack his child and tell him, don't you ever do that again. Apologize. He apologized. End of story. John could not explain why or his reasoning for doing such an action, but it was definitely proven that he did it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because John could have easily said, well, Dad, you don't know. He said this, he said that. That was not the case. John could have pleaded his case for doing such a thing. But he didn't have a case.
No, he can't do that, Mike, because spitting on people is foul. It is one of the most foul things you could ever do to someone.
Right.
Okay, so you, and mind you, here it is, you two guys are running through my house. Obviously, this is not something normal, so guess what? And obviously, you spoke up first. Why are you chasing? He spit in my face. Oh, you did you? Mm-hmm. Because they know how disgusting it is to be spit on, and he pie out his ass.
Right.
You know, and
That's what I mean. There was no need to explain why. There was no and like you said, it's disgusting. It's disgusting to spit anywhere on anybody. That's body fluid. Okay. All right, so I don't know if we can go any further with the shooting situation, but racism in America is really growing. And as Janet mentioned, since Barack Obama, gun sales have gone up. Hate groups have formed more hate groups. What is racism? Is it hereditary? I don't think so. It is a process of teaching your child to hate. You have to teach someone to hate. No child is born in this world to hate another child, to hate another race. And going back to what Timon said, is he Asian? Is he black? Is he this, and that, and the other? And I mentioned before, you know, us as black people used to have a hatred towards us that were lighter than the others. Oh, you high mm-hmm. yellow, you think you special. We went through that period. I call that, in my mind, I'm like, where we had a problem with, you know, identity, who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
But race mixing started, I mean, not decades, centuries ago. Race mixing started centuries ago. But this is the United States of America. This is the place where people from all over the world of every nationality, every race, color, and creed come to for allegedly a better life. But you better not be a certain race in a certain area at a certain time because you might experience racism. You just might.
You know, sometimes, Michael, right, sometimes just even with parents talking among each other and the child around is around and can listen to some of the things they're saying, even if they're not saying, you got to be racist, they hear some of the things that you're saying, and they believe whatever you're saying is real because it's really coming from the parent, you know? So you just have to be careful also what you say around your children. You know, when I was raised, they said children would be seen and not heard. When company came, you weren't around adults. You know, you had to go off and be in the room or someplace by yourself, you know, with your siblings, not, you know, sitting under parents and listening to every word. And nowadays, a lot of the little kids listen to every word their parent is saying, and they don't even care what comes out their mouth. Until
and they allow
it embarrasses them. Mm-hmm.
Right. They allow their kids to hear adult conversation. And it's sad because I hear some parents talk to their kids like they're talking to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides, of every race. I hear the tone of voice, you know, that they have. I'll never forget this Asian couple one time came in and they were so smooth talking and everything, and this is neither here nor there, but just, you know, really the tone of voice. When I worked at Home Depot, the guy was asking about a garage door opener. He was like, excuse me, sir, but which one do you think is the best? I said, well, this one here is a good brand. And then his wife said, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? And he went, doy, this here go, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you. And I was like, what the hell just happened here? And then he turns back to me. Okay, so do you think that this one, you know, he's speaking in English real calm towards me, but every time his wife would respond, she goes, Ting Xing Kong, Xing Kong, Kong. He goes, Sha Sha Yin Zhou. I'm like, I don't know what the hell he's saying to me, but he's very aggressive. And maybe that's their culture. I don't know. But it kind of blew me away. You know, I'm like, I don't know what the hell they're saying, but he must be mad about something. Maybe she's saying, don't you think that's a little bit too expensive? I got the money to buy this. Don't you worry about it. But anyway, that's a different story. Okay, so, hey, you guys, this week we lost an amazing musician. This guy, you may remember him, maybe you don't, but he was a jazz, funk, R&B keyboardist, songwriter. His name was Bernard Wright, and he died this past Thursday at the age of, I believe it says, 58. He had some, you know, he had a song, he had a few songs, but he had a song that was most popular known as Who Do You Love, which one of our guests, Mr. St. James, did a remake, a complimentary remake of that R&B classic. And I reached out to St. James and let him know that we're going to pay a little tribute because that's going to be our music break for the show. And we'll be back with another topic. But we don't know what the cause of death is at the moment. But many rappers, Snoop Dogg, rappers and actors, Snoop Dogg, LL Cool J, even Tupac, had sampled his music for some of their biggest hits. Bernard Wright was actually the godson of a very popular artist, and I'm just going to read this article just briefly. Musician Bernard Wright has died at 58. Roberta Flack's godson was best known for his hit single, Who Do You Love? The Who Do You Love R&B keyboardist and songwriter Bernard Wright reportedly died Thursday, May 19th at age 58, according to Soul Tracks. Quote, on behalf of the family of Bernard Wright, better known as Nard, we are saddened to announce that yesterday Bernard has been called home to the Most High. Many thanks for everyone's support, encouragement, and prayers for Nard throughout the years. Soul Tracks quoted band leader Bill Spaceman Patterson. Please keep the family in your thoughts and prayers through this difficult time. Our hearts are heavy and our faith is strong. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Love, rest in power, Nard. Any of you remember Bernard Wright? Or am I the oldest man in the building to remember him?
I remember. I remember the song.
You do?
I remember.
Okay. Well, there was another one, like I said, that was a sample by many artists over the years, and I'm trying to pull it up on the board. I know I downloaded it. Let me make sure I got it here. Let me go to the search page here. It should be here. I know I have it. Oh, here it is. Here's one that you guys probably don't remember, but I thought it had the funkiest intro of any song. And it has that little, you know, comical type vocal line to it. But I think Timon may remember this funky groove. This is called Hobble Gobble Trippin' in memory of Bernard Wright. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Coming up next month is a Let's Talk About It, better known as the LTAI, with your host, Cotton Campbell. Wow. That was Bernard Wright with Hobble Globble Trippin'. Man, that was a funky tune back in the day. I'm telling you, I loved it. I loved it. And, of course, we're going to play his hit single, Who Do You Love, later on the show. I got a person who's waving their hand here. It's 216780, and I believe this is Victor joining the show. Let me open up your mic, Victor. Be patient, as it tends will. Victor, you there, and happy Saturday to you.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Happy Saturday to you. And, you know, tonight I was going to ask you about Black Music Month, because I guess that's coming up in June, and if you had anything scheduled, because Bernard Wright was 16 when his first album came out. Now, I don't know if it was Tom Brown. I thought Tom Brown produced some of his music on his first album. But he also had another groove on that album, on that same album, Hobble Globble Trippin', called Chillin' Out. That was a bad jam, too. If you get a chance, you should play that one, too. Yeah, but that's all I wanted to contribute to the conversation.
Sad to hear
that he passed away, man. He was a very good, talented musician. Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, very talented.
Same age as me.
Yeah, he worked with Tom Brown. As I mentioned, a lot of his stuff was sampled. He became a studio musician for a lot of artists in his later years. And, it's just really sad, you know, that he's gone. He was born in 1963, November 16th of 1963. He passed, of course, as it says, May 19th of this year. Truly a loss. Okay, so let's move to another topic. And Janet, I think I lost my itinerary. Let me see if I can pull it up. Let me go back here. It's interesting when I do this show, because it's like I'm going left and right from one computer to the other, to the phone and this and that and the other, trying to find these things. One moment. I think I have it. Okay, it's coming up. It's taking its time. Okay. So I wanted to talk about, well, Biden signed a $40 billion Ukraine package, which Ukraine definitely needs it. But I want to skip that for a moment. I want to go into this robocall thing, because that's something that I think all of us can relate to. Janet, you have it up on your end? Or did you send it to me through... Okay, I think I see it through personal text. I think you did. That's not it. And that's not it. Okay, I think I found it. All right, so you guys... I know you guys get these robocalls, right? So here's a story that's kind of interesting. I'm going to go to something a little lighter. Texas man has made more than $100,000 suing robocallers and offer tips for anyone looking to do the same. And Jenna, what did you find this story, though, first of all? You there? Okay, I think her call dropped. Janet, you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me open up your mic.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I was just doing a search, because I get between 10 to 20 robocalls a day. And no matter how many times I tell these people, don't call me, take me off your list, the same ones call me back. So I said, I'm going to read this article. I did a search and it popped up. I was like, wow, okay. You know, because We need to, ever since, I think it was Trump, changed it where telemarketers could call. Before you had that do not call registry, and you didn't have to worry about all these calls. Now it's like, it's off the chain every single day. First thing in the morning, they call, they hang up. Then it's on and popping, you know. So I thought that was a real good article for people to be able to at least get some insight on what we can do as far as
Well, this is Austin, Texas. It says, one Texas man has turned those annoying robocalls into tens of thousands of dollars. Dan Graham is a CPA who works in Texas, and he is sharing his method for turning those robocalls into cash. Okay, now, all right, I'm kind of wondering about this one here, but I'm going to keep reading. He said the first step is adding your number to the national Do Not Call registry. If you receive an unwanted call after your number has been on the registry for 31 days, you can report it to the Federal Trade Commission. Graham said then if you are still getting calls, you can turn them into lawsuits. He told Fox 4, you should ask the person on the phone to tell you more about why they are calling. If they are calling about a car warranty, give them some fake information so you can get more out of them. Once Graham finds out the company the caller works for, he says he contacts them directly to ask them to stop the illegal phone calls. If they don't, he sues them in small claims court for violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. I probably get in any given day 10 on average, Graham told KXAN about the number of illegal phone calls and text messages he gets. Quote, I counted one day. Actually, I got 24 that day. He told KXAN that filing complaints with the Better Business Bureau and the FTC didn't help stop the calls, and that's when he started pushing back and filing lawsuits. He said he filed his first lawsuit in Travis County on April 2021. According to KXAN, Graham has filed around 50 small claim cases just in Travis County and several more in North Texas. He told Fox 4 earlier this week that he has grossed over $105,000 since he started filing suits against the companies for illegal calls. $105,000? Okay.
Thank you.
Let me continue. Damn, I get calls every day.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that. I had no idea I had money sitting right in front of me. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Graham says, okay, he told Fox, okay, he said that. Graham says anyone who plans to file a suit against these companies needs to be prepared to argue the law. He told Fox 4 that while the cash is nice, he ultimately just wants the calls to stop. Graham also created a video on how to get started. Okay, this is interesting. This is interesting. This is funny. It's interesting. So I can sue the people who bug my phone, you know, constantly bugging me to buy a product. And by the way, I want to say hello to Bring It Boy, who just joined in the chat room, and he asked me, did I know that Biden signed a treaty with the WHO giving up our sovereignty? Yeah, I heard something about that on another show. I definitely want to get that as a topic. And in fact, if we can't cover that in the next hour, I'll pull that up and see if we can cover that. And John, take a look at that. And if we can do that this week or this day, if not, we'll do it next Saturday. But back to this whole, you can sue for robocalls. I mean, well, Janet, are you trying to pick up the phone and sue for all the robocalls? I just want to ask you.
Well, I have told them that I was going to contact my lawyer because, I mean, I have screamed at them. I've done some of everything. I've been nice. You know, if it's for insurance or car warranty, that's the biggest one. And it's crazy how 10 to 20 times a day you pick the phone up and it's a robocall. and they be trying to act like they're not a robocop.
Hmm.
Yeah. So if you tell them not to call anymore and they still call you, I mean, it's like they just put my name back in the bucket, my phone number. So that's why I said I did a search, and that popped up, and I was like, hey. I think I might tap into it.
Well,
yeah, Springboard
says that Kevin, you can't talk and request a number to call them back. But this is in the chat room. Well, yeah, you can
do that. The numbers that they call you from, you can never call back on those numbers. They say,
okay.
Yeah, because I've done that.
You tried to call them back.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's like Social Security fraud protection or, you know, somebody saying the IRS is coming to get me. Yeah, I'll call them and harass them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've had that happen.
Yeah,
one of them told me, they said, if you do not respond, the local cops will be putting out a warrant. I'm like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Since when do you start using the term cops? The local cops? Wouldn't you say law enforcement or the police or something? She said the local cops. Okay, cops. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, have the local cops come and get my ass. I mean, fine. I hope that's what they got on their bulletproof vest. Not police, have cops. Okay. Damn TV. Wow. That's crazy.
But you know, some of those calls actually, those numbers belong to like a regular person like me or you. And
yes.
They don't know that their number's being routed. So because I get them too, and I know it's a robocall because I'm in Kansas City and the numbers are coming from Texas. I don't really have any friends with my same area code in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple, but not our. There's 832 numbers. But so what I do is typically I hit the I'll call you back or text me, and it'll tell me if it's a landline or, you know, I'll get a message back, say, oh, this is a landline number, or somebody will respond and say, what are you talking about? And I'll let them know what's happening. Like, your number's robocalling.
Mm-hmm. That's happened to me too, Cotton. And the couple said, we didn't call you. Well, someone called me from this number. Just called me. But they swore they didn't call me. Yeah.
Yep. I screenshot the call and I send it to them to let them know, yeah, your number actually called me.
I even had one call and tell me that they were from border protection or something, and a package was intercepted that I was supposed to be getting, and I had so much, you know, like only a few minutes to call them. I mean, they have really gone off the deep end with some of this stuff.
Yeah, they're pretty bad because my daughter got it so bad that I called the people that were trying to tell her that she owed them money. And the guy, it was an African-American guy talking to me on the phone like, well, yeah, she's going to have to call. Now, typically, I'm her mom, and I just told you that. So, but you're discussing with me what's going on. Well, she just needs to call us back and take care of this. And I'm just like, and Mercedes is like, mom, yeah, no, they're lying. I said, yeah. I said, I would next time they call you, tell them you're going to report them to the police. I bet they stop calling you then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's
interesting, you know, I was just talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, I always come back to this thing about the numbers you know and that you don't know. You know, the numbers you know and that you don't know. Officer Crenshaw had dropped, so I'm going to open up his mic again. I think he might want to say something on this robocall thing. Welcome back, Crenshaw. You have something to say about the robocalls? How many do you get a day or a week? And are you willing to sue? Okay, I'm sorry, it's Ken Willing to open up his mic, so let's give it a minute here. Janet, you know I'm afraid to refresh the board, seeing how Blog Talk has been acting crazy, but it's Ken Willing, so hopefully he'll open his mic. After that fiasco that happened a few weeks back, I do not want to refresh the board, you guys. Well, I can refresh the board, I just can't hang myself up.
Don't hang up.
But that's interesting that this guy has $150,000. That number seems pretty high. That seems pretty
high.
But
I believe it because of all the calls you get on a daily basis. You know, I mean, I have to keep emptying my voicemail because it gets full after 22 calls, and 90% of them is 99% is robocalls.
Okay, I can agree with that.
So it has me screaming at my phone sometimes. You know, my daughter will say, "Why you answer?" Well, you don't know whether it's a robocall or a regular call, so that's why I answer. But once they hang up, I block it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a thing on my phone where they catch most of the calls.
I'm going to say this. Crenshaw, if you're there, hang up and call back in. It's still pinwheeling here on the board. It's not opening. So let me see if it will, if you don't mind, hang up and call back in. And let me see if I can get you on the board. I'm sure he can hear us.
I put a block on my phone, too, you know, so it tells me whether it's a telemarketer or, you know, ahead of time.
But somehow some of them still get through. But, you know, you ever notice that they start really early in the morning, but then they stop. They don't come.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get any calls, like, from now and through the rest of the evening, but they start, like, really early in the morning, like at 7 a.m.
One in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, I got a robocall.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
You know, and Todd, I have to tell you, you must be blessed because I had one at 8:30 at night. I'm like, and one almost around 9. I'm like, the hell you they calling me at this time of night for? I had a bill collector call me one time. I was like, wait a minute, don't you guys shut down sometimes? I mean, whenever I call to get help, you don't answer the damn phone, but you quit to call me when you want your money. You know, hell, you better go to sleep. Shit, that's what I'm doing. Calling me about some damn money. Call during a respectable hour. 9 to 5 is my business hours, and I don't care if you call at 3 in the afternoon. I'm on lunch. Okay, I'm eating lunch.
Right.
Leave me alone. They don't care anymore. Bring It Boy says, right, the police don't like being called cops. It's like the umpire blue. They hate that. Okay?
Yeah.
Like the umpire blue. I don't know who the umpire blue is, but
but you can tell when it's not somebody that is American, because we don't typically say cops. We typically say police. You know, so it's the verbiage and the language that you can tell that it's not an American person. Yeah, we don't talk like that. So
this person was speaking in clear American English. There was no accent whatsoever. It was a female voice. She was sounding like, if you do not respond, you will get a call from the local cops or you will be arrested and a warrant will be put out for your... I'm like,
they're using a machine to talk through.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they're using a machine to talk through, so they sound normal to you.
Okay.
This lady, I learned about this because this lady was trying to date this person from overseas, and she thought that they were an American person until the investigator told her that they were using a machine to be able to speak to her so she could understand them and didn't sound like they were a foreigner.
She was in love,
and she just thought that she was going to be marrying this person and sending the money and the whole nine. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. It was serious. They find there's so many different avenues to try to trick you into getting what they want from you.
Correct, of course. And that's the scary thing about the media and about social media. You have to be careful. When you download certain apps, you got to be careful because there are certain things that are tied to that app, which you are allowing. And the thing is that what I've learned to do, really, is read the terms and conditions. You got to start reading. It may be long, but you better start reading it. At least glance over it and look at those certain lines, those certain words that you agree that we can add this to your, you know, we can access this, we can access that, your camera, your calls, this, that, and the other. You don't read that stuff, you know. Because most people, which I'm guilty in the past, would definitely overlook that crap. But now, it's a contract. You are actually signing a contract.
Let me tell you another story. Not too long ago, this was a couple years ago, about 3 years ago. It was a survey I did. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do this survey, you know, on the phone. And then it says, oh, you won a prize because you – won this you did this survey. And so they said all I had to do was pay $1.49 for shipping and I'd get this prize. Well, it was a little cheap watch that came maybe about 2 months after I had did the survey. But I happened to look at my bank account. These people had taken about $300 out of my account. I called them and for a little watch that was like a little Mickey Mouse $5 watch. Right, it was a no-name brand. It didn't even have a name on it. I stayed on that phone for 2 hours and made them give me every bit of my money back, or they was gonna be sued. Wow. They gave me my money.
Okay,
I did not authorize that. I just paid $1.49, and then by the time I got the watch, it was past the 30-day return thing. They didn't even want the watch back.
They only pay 50 cents for it. That's why they paid a quarter for it.
You got to be careful when you look at your account, your bank accounts, because I didn't even know these people had made these transactions. They took that $1.49, then they took 98, then they was, you know, they was just hitting me every 2 weeks taking money out, and then said I had signed up for a program. What program? You know,
that's how they do this. Like you said, you got to be real careful these days.
But
and
hey,
reading
look,
especially
look,
when you're not your bank information.
I got Officer Crenshaw's mic back open. Officer Crenshaw, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
You can hear me now, right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, I laid my phone down to slide up under the car, and I don't know what the hell happened. It cut off. It came back on. It called you. Then it cut off again.
Wow.
Okay, well, we got you back, so I'm glad that it kept
your phone
going.
To talk to me.
And you guys know never to say the word Y-E-S on the phone to somebody you don't know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They
don't
record
say
you
yes to somebody.
Later to access your account.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Got you.
I got it, yeah.
Got you.
Because when they say something like, are you a bot or a real person? And you say yes, they'll record that yes comment. And then the other questions they can insert that you might want to say no, they can insert your yes answer. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And,
yeah.
And hack account.
I mean, no, no.
You got yourself, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
See, there you go.
I'm
so confused
okay.
right now.
I get military.
Just go, no, you know what? Instead of saying yes, just go, uh-huh. Because uh-huh is
uh-huh,
not really
right.
an answer. Uh-huh.
Well, there we go.
And
hey,
well,
say uh-huh.
No, if you say uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
No, you can say
no,
uh-huh.
They don't like that.
Yeah, right. Because in a court of law. Right. Well, they can record it, but in a court of law, when you're being asked a question by an attorney, you can't go mm-hmm or uh-huh. You can't make gestures like that. A judge will say either say yes or no, because and Officer Crenshaw should know this. I'm sure he does. The judge will say no. You have to answer with a yes or no. They can't go by uh-huh, mm-hmm, You can't do that. They got to hear a yes or no.
It's no proper spelling for that word for the little lady back there.
The court stenographer? Yeah, the court stenographer. Right.
Right.
Bring it, Bill said, just nod your head. That's not an answer. That's not an answer.
No, that don't not work either. I went to my doctor and telling me to go to emergency. And she said, are you going to go to emergency? I said, yes, but I shook my head no. She said, what does that mean? I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, you said yes, but you shook your head no. I wanted to slap the crap out of her.
You were giving mixed signals, Janet. You shook your head yes. You said yes, but you shook your head no.
Because I wasn't going to go to emergency when all she had to do was give me the medicine.
But she said that you shook your head yes. Did you shake your head yes?
I said no. I said yes, but I shook my head no. I didn't even realize I said shook my head no.
Okay, so I got another person here. I think it's B-Wise. Acerpence? I don't know. But anyway, B-Wise, I'm just going to say, B-Wise says the fifth is your friend. Plead the fifth.
The fifth is your friend.
So whenever you get one of those calls, just leave that message. Are you a robot or are you a human? I plead the fifth. See what kind of answer it says.
I'm sorry.
I didn't understand your answer. Well, you better update your program because I plead the fifth, damn it. You know, that's what they need to do. Understand those words. I plead the fifth. Oh, wow. Okay, so we're going to have a open mic right now. I want to go to another topic, though, really. I'm sorry. I was going to do open mic. Let me go back into the itinerary of the show. Oh, okay. So Biden went ahead and approved, what was it, $40 billion for help for Ukraine.
Finally signed it.
Mm-hmm. Biden signed it. Okay, so Bring It Boy has said that Biden also, and let me scroll back up to what Bring It Boy said. And I heard this on another show, and I didn't recall really putting this into the itinerary, but it is a good question that Bring a Boy has. Where is it? Did you know Biden signed a treaty with WHO giving up our sovereignty? Janet, have you heard that? I heard on another show that there was going to be a meeting this weekend, I guess, in Geneva, of where other countries, not just the United States, were going to be signing in on this, or this was going to be the discussion. Had you heard about that, Janet?
No.
Okay, Bring It Boy. I see you here on the board. You know the number. Call in. You can share the information. I see 216-780 hand is up. So I want to, maybe that's Bring It Boy, and let's hear it. And then I want to go ahead and research it online and see what it's all about. 216-780, about to open up your mic. And try to limit the noise in the background for us, okay, so we can have a good quality.
Oh, I'm going down the highway. I'm sorry. It's raining pretty hard.
All right. Who's calling?
I'll make it real quick. This is wickedness to the highest degree. They're getting ready to give our health care over to the World Health Organization, the same organization that Donald Trump defunded, rightfully so, back in 2020. The same health organization that John Magufuli, the president of Tanzania, kicked out of his country after he found out about the scam of the PCR and the scam of this 2 years of this scamdemic. I'm going to call it a scamdemic that they put these people put us through. And now he's getting ready to give it to basically China.
basically to China is what you said, right? Okay.
Yes, China controls the World Health Organization.
Okay. Anyone
y'all need
China
to do
on
some
that
research.
Well, yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying.
Mike.
I'm listening to what you're saying. No, no, you can.
Yeah, y'all need to do some research, man, because this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible.
Where did you get your information from? Can you share that with us so we can see where you got your information from?
Okay, the first place I heard it was from the frontline doctors. There are a lot of doctors who came out during this entire 2 years of this virus who were trying to push other therapeutics to help out, to help people deal with this virus. There was some frontline doctors. I can't remember many of their names, but I'm quite sure people like Riza Islam and many other black folk who have been against this stuff from the beginning would probably be able to confirm it. Not to mention the fact that it has been in some media outlets. It's just that here in America, the mainstream media will not tell these stories.
And can you share? I'm just asking you this. Okay, so hold on for a minute. Let me ask you this, though. You brought this up, but you haven't been able to tell me or the listeners where you got this from. I just really want to know, where did you get your information from? You're saying from frontline doctors, and you're saying from other media outlets. Where did you get your information from?
Well, I tell you what. You type it in. I'm trying to remember these doctors' names. Because there was a bunch of them that were talking about this earlier this past week, and but if you type it in, the treaty that he essentially signed, and that they're meeting over there at Davos at the World Economic Forum, it's the information will come up. Just type it in and look it up. It'll be there.
Okay. We will definitely do that. In fact, I'm on it now. Because, I mean, and here's the thing, and I appreciate you calling and sharing that with us. But the thing is that I just want to make sure that all of the listeners and myself get what information, whatever you share with us, you tell us where you got it from so we can follow that trail. You follow what I mean? We don't want to, you know, type it in.
Absolutely.
No, I'm saying that we want to follow your trail. Since you brought it to our attention, we want to go down that same trail you did. And everybody has to have, you know, everybody has to have their own opinion of the information and where it's coming from, you know, and that's the key thing is that the information, where are you getting it from, you know, and that goes with any topic or any story. It's who is providing this information. All right. So with that being said, let me let any other callers here that choose to chime in. I'm just going to say where Bring It Boy is in the chat room again. Or hasn't left, and I think Be Wise is still here. But Bring It Boy says the caller is on point. Well, Bring It Boy, where's the information? Where do you get your information? You can go ahead and post it here in the chat room. I'll read it on air. Okay. The info is, he says, the info is everywhere. Go look it up for yourself. Okay, Be Wise, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked the caller. Tell me where you got your information. You could tell me it's everywhere. I'm not aware of this. I'm on the show right now, okay? All right. I can go ahead and look on my laptop and look up anything, but I want to know where did you get the information first. You're sharing it with me. I want to know where did you get – who's your source of information? And that's a simple request. But understand my point. And I'm pretty sure everybody else agrees with me. I'm not saying what you're telling us is truth or untruth. But when you share something, I like to know where did the information come from. That's all I'm saying. Okay? So if you could tell us where you got your information from, we'll start from there. And then we'll go forward. Because I never read something and believe the first post I read. I do read other things, and if they are in, I guess for lack of a better term, if they're on par with whatever I read, you know, from another article, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, they're on point, you know, their stories sound, you know, exactly the same. But if I read this story here and then I read this story elsewhere and they're totally opposite explanations of what's going on, then I have a problem with that. Right, you know, so it's all about the source. So, again, I'll say, tell me where you got your information from. Tell me where I can look. I'll start with what you just shared with me and the listeners, and then I'll go forward with that. Because you brought it to the table, I want to go ahead and respect you and follow your path. Janet, you were saying something. Go ahead, please.
No, I just said consider the source, but is it for the COVID vaccines? I'm trying to figure out what they're doing.
Essentially, what this is supposed to do, according to the doctors that I've heard, and many of them have been petitioning members of Congress to put a stop to this. What essentially does is give the World Health Organization powers to implement international emergency powers to do essentially like they did in China, a lockdown or declare a pandemic or whatever, and it gives them the authority to tell countries of the globe what they can and cannot do. Like I said, I'm driving on my way home, and I wish that I could type it in and pull this stuff up for you. But that's why I said if you type that in, I'm quite sure it's going to come up because this has been talked about a lot. Black folks and white folks alike on both sides of the political aisle are talking about this. And, you know, the mainstream media is not going to take it.
And the thing is that
I'm just reading, but I don't know if this is the same thing that he's talking about because they're talking about the vaccine, the COVID shot, you know, sharing that. So I'm
I'm not saying I know exactly what he's talking about. In a sense, I do know. I've heard this conversation before. That this vote was coming up. I did hear that on another show, okay, and that Biden, I guess now, because this whole thing had just occurred this weekend. Am I correct? Okay, so the thing is that I heard that the World Health Organization will be able to control what countries shut down, how long, this, that, and the other. Keep in mind, China is still shut down in certain parts of China, right? I'm sure you guys know that. I mentioned that, I think, a week or two ago, that there are parts of China that are shut down, unlike parts of America. And with more viruses that are getting out there, certain parts of America, not all of us, but certain locations are shutting down businesses. You may notice it in your area, and maybe you don't, but it is happening under your nose. All right. But what he's saying, I heard that was going to be on a vote. I didn't know if Biden signed it. I'm being told that he did. That should be a concern. I agree with that. We will have to do our research. You know, now Bring It Boy has posted that it is available. In fact, BY said the info is everywhere. Go look it up for yourself. I said that already. But I'm asking you guys, go ahead and share with it. So now what they did, Bring It Boy has put whitehouse.gov.
I just looked at that, but that was for COVID. I'm getting ready to send you the other information, Michael.
And well, just like David Boy said, good thing, the internet is not always true, and that's correct. The internet is not always true. So go ahead, as you listen.
Michael, what he's talking about is, I heard it off of MSNBC. I didn't listen to it in depth, but it's, what he's saying, as well as the Title 42 for the COVID for the immigrants, they're talking about merging or something like that, all of that into one, to where the government will have control over complete shutdown, not just immigrants coming in COVID.
Right. Okay. I see 909-732 has their hand up. I'm going to open up their mic. Keep in mind, the time is now 7:38 Eastern time, so we're almost down to 20 minutes left on the show. I do have a couple of things I want to do before we go off air. But I love this conversation, of course. Always, when it's a great conversation like this, we will continue it next Saturday. By the way, next Saturday, we're going to be celebrating our 100th show. Okay, so hopefully everyone will join in. Some special guests are scheduled to chime in and say hello to everybody. But let me go ahead and open the mic to 909-732. Hopefully it won't tin wheel for long. No, there you are. Hello, who's calling? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Suzanne. I'm calling from Southern California. I'm bringing it boys' wife.
Hey, yeah.
Hey.
This is bringing boys' wife. How are you doing? Welcome back. Long time no talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, LA had told me what time your show was because we had lost you there for a little bit, and I was talking to her the other day, and I was like, hey, he just kind of disappeared. She goes, oh, no, he's still on BTR. He's just on in the evening. I said, oh, okay. So we found you.
Right.
Love listening to your show and your panel members.
Well, I appreciate you. Okay.
Well,
so this whole thing, give us your opinion on what's going on.
Well, the WhiteHouse.gov website, yes, does talk about the COVID-19. It was an executive order that he signed. And I'm not turning on my speakerphone because it's crap. So I'm just going by it as far as speaking into the mic as I can. But it does talk about the strategic plans that Biden had signed into the agenda. We rejoined the WHO in January 2021. But it was recently he amended that treaty that he had signed and proposed it, and that's why they were voting on it.
Okay.
Now, sustainable development goals are having to do with world health, global health agenda through sustainable development, which is the United Nations. And so they will decide what is enough to, you know, produce a pandemic or an epidemic, or what countries that are members of the WHO and UN, how they will be treated, what vaccines, if there are any, and lockdowns and all that. So when people say he surrendered our sovereignty, he surrendered our healthcare sovereignty, as far as, you know, when they decide if there's a pandemic on one side of the world or an epidemic, then they'll shut everybody down if they want to. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate that. I see 864. 340 waved their hand. And the board is filling up, so I want to give everybody a chance to chime in with their questions or comments. So I'm going to go ahead and open the mic to 864-340. Welcome to the show. What's your question or comment? And, of course, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Bob Collins.
Say
South
that
Carolina.
Again. Oh,
my
South Carolina.
Shabazz. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
How's everybody? Hi.
Hello. What's your comment?
Hello.
Hello.
I was just me as I'm a black male, and I guess I would definitely have a comment pertaining to, I guess, the social dynamics that we are seeing here in America. And I was having this because with someone the other day that on the importance of black folk in particular before we wait on anyone else on the outside of our own race to be concerned about our affairs. I think we should be more concerned with those affairs first. And going a step further, looking at this mass shooting, It's to me, I'm not sure where everyone else, this would be a question to, I guess, the audience, the collective audience or the panel, but probing the atmosphere post the mass shootings in Buffalo from where I stand, as we're talking about a racial, very racist America, it doesn't seem like the death of those 10 people, 10 black folks, have basically been highlighted as maybe even in the case of the gay mass shooting. And I, as a black man, I feel like I have my right to make this observation, you understand? And, you know, to, you know, where I coming from, where I stand. I remember when the gay mass shooting happened, it was all over my social media. It was, you know, I was hearing about it. But with this situation, it's like I'm kind of hearing about it here and there. It's good that you all are discussing it. But it's like I'm not even, you know, a lot of people, it's not popular. So I'm wondering, and even with this being one that was very rare, because out of all the mass shootings, this mass shooting was actually captured on camera, right? The actual real time, you understand, I think they were saying it was being streamed on gaming platforms and things of that nature. So this kind of gets into a whole different ball game. And actually asking the question of either Biden or whether it be Democrats or Republicans, what is going to be done? You understand? Because we do know that Biden did, he was there working on the crime bill, you understand, which we do know that Bill Clinton locked up the most black folk ever, right? So they did have laws in place to make sure certain things weren't. So what type of laws and things will be in, put in place to now make sure that if this white boy does, you know, if any white boy chooses to go out here and commit a heinous act like this, that immediately they will be dealt with very harshly, as when what we saw America deal with Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, the countless amounts of other folks that we've seen not even have an assault rifle. You know, sometimes even a book would get them killed after raising their hands. So wondering what's allowing these terrorist guys to actually be put into place, and also sometimes like even Dylan Root, where he can, you know, get a trip to Burger King before he goes to, you understand? And even when we're looking at the bigger game, is the bigger game bigger than that one isolated, quote-unquote, lone individual?
Well, you know what? I had addressed that question, and you're on point. I addressed that question, and we kind of switch gears because you're going back to one topic that we had earlier in the show. But I appreciate doing that, and I appreciate you calling in to the show. Thank you so much. You know, that was my question. What do we do now? Because you're seeing it's the young kids. It's not no 60, 70, 80-year-old man who has lived the life. You're talking about an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 19-year-old who haven't lived not even a quarter of their life, actually, maybe a quarter of their lives. But they're angry, and they did it because of racism. They have been taught to be hateful. He is a self-acclaimed, okay, he's a self-acclaimed white supremacist. And as we said earlier in the conversation, earlier in the show, he picked this place. He did his research. And though we can say that, you know, that's stupid, that's crazy, no. That young man, and I don't want to call him smart, but he was meticulous about his actions. Otherwise, he would not have been able to be able to do what he did. Look at the fact he had on body armor. He was shot at from a security guard, a retired police officer. The bullet ricocheted off of him. He had the mind to know to wear armor. That was planned and calculated. And that's a scary thought, that an 18-year-old will go to that extreme to pull this off.
And,
you know,
and I think not only.
But the thing is that where I mean, it's scary. But go ahead. I'm going to let you finish up. And I'm going to let you wrap it up. But then I'm going to move on. But go ahead, sir.
No, I was just saying that being relevant to the conversation, this has been a long time act that has been constantly perpetuated against him, you understand?
Right.
So it's not like something like that. He just, you know, this is systematic. They actually probably have, you know, the biggest gang in America is the white nationalists, you understand? But they actually go under the guise, this is a fact, but they actually are actually employed as our law enforcement, you understand? And actually, a lot of times when they are, you know, doing certain things against black folks, the lawmakers even are letting them off. So I think it's a lot deeper and a lot bigger than, like you say, that one guy.
Right. And
I was,
I'm looking
I
at
was
the post that I'm seeing. Well, I have to really push the show because we're down to 12 minutes. And let me go ahead and do this real quick. And if we have enough time, what we'll do is do a little overtime. For the folks that are listening on the internet, the show may end at 8 o'clock, but the people online, the live on the internet will end, but it will still be recorded and still be in the archive. So we'll probably go another 5 to 10 minutes over on the phone lines. So if you haven't called into the phone lines, you would not be able to call in now. All right? So we'll go a little overtime on this. I believe that was Cotton Camel that was trying to make a comment. Go ahead, Cotton.
I was going to say to what he was saying, I think a lot of if the police officers and those that are in charge of this were made to be held accountable for how they mistreat black people opposed to how they mistreat, because I was going to say when he said that, just think about how George Floyd murdered over a fake $20 bill, allegedly, and lost his entire life, where these people are coming out with guns and you can see them holding the guns and you know they've shot and killed somebody and you're not doing anything about it. So I think it definitely starts with our law enforcement and how they behave. Like somebody needs to be policing the police at this point.
Right. And here I'm looking at the chat room and I see it. Bring It Boy and Suzette, you were just on air, which you come through and you chat with me. And then I see B-Wise making comments here. You guys, come on now. Some of these comments, I think you are really, really wrong for this. You say, to me, it smells like Sandy Hook. B-Wise, you said, yeah, same ingredients. And I hope I'm reading this wrong, because if I'm reading the way I'm reading it and in the way that you say any blood, did this kid travel 300 miles? No, he traveled 200 miles more than once. He has a manifesto, okay?
Yeah.
He had said this that he was going to do this. He did not share exactly where it was going to be. It wasn't like they knew exactly where this was going to happen, but he had planned this over social media. I blame social media for not looking at that, because you know what? Facebook and Twitter will block your ass for playing a damn song that's copywritten. How come they couldn't block his ass for making threats? Okay. Then I see if he did, it was not his idea. Where is the blood and flesh? There should have been considerable amounts of splatter. They're not going to show you that shit on TV. Okay.
And are you just trying to say
I'm asking. I'm asking these individuals in my
family.
Because you are not being respectful. Because had this happened to your family, you would not be asking these fucked up questions. And that's what you're doing. You're asking fucked up questions. When you get shot, it's not like in the movies. It's not like in the movies where you see blood splatter everywhere all the time as a bullet wound. Okay. And if you've never seen one get shot like I have, then you don't understand it. You don't understand what being shot is like. It depends on where you're shot. It's not always blood splatter. Okay? So until you got to respect the family, because those people were gone. They did not. This is not a movie. This is not this is real life. That happened in
not
the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So have some respect.
It really happened.
And if you don't believe this happened, if you truly don't believe this happened, then you got a problem. You really do.
Yeah. And just think, well, that one beautiful lady was 86 years old, and my grandmother's 91. I can't imagine at all.
And
I wouldn't want to see that.
And do you think the president of the United States would go to Buffalo for a fake shooting?
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
So someone wants to say, do I want to tell them about combat casualties? I don't give a fuck about combat casualties. Yes, combat casualties happens every day right here in America. It ain't got to be in no war across the ocean or anything. combat casualties happen every day right here in motherfucking America. So do you want to tell me about it?
Our
combat hold on, everybody. Hold on, everybody, because I'm addressing the folks that are in the chat room. Now, if they want to have the balls to come on air and talk, they can. All right?
Yeah.
We can have a respectful discussion, but don't hide in the chat room. If you want to share your thoughts, I appreciate you joining the chat room, but I don't agree with your comments because, to me, you're not respecting the families. Just like, you know, when these young kids shot up all these other schools, mind you, white kids, show me a story in recent days of a black kid, an Asian kid, a Mexican kid shooting up a school in recent days. And how often does that happen? You just happen to be white. And I understand you protecting your color and your race and saying not every white person's that way. I agree with you. But look, this happened. You can't ignore the fact that it did. And if you try to, then you're just as ignorant as the people
who can't protect that because 10 people were murdered.
Right, murder.
10 people were murdered. You cannot protect that. So we're not talking about combat.
Hold on. I'm addressing the people in the chat room, and then I'm going to let it go because I only have 5 minutes left on the show. And we will continue this conversation next week, and hopefully the people in the chat room will come on and have a civil conversation about it. You know, I don't attack anybody. I give you the most respect to share your thoughts. But you got to understand, everybody has thoughts and opinions. And if you can't, you know, share this conversation and understand everybody's point of view, I understand your thoughts, but you got to hear this side of the story too. We listen to yours. I have this platform for that reason, to hear your thoughts and opinions. But we're not going to cross signals here. We're going to talk about what's at hand, and we're going to try to discuss what is a way to solve these problems. Because had it been your family, had you been at home and saw breaking news, a shooting at Piggly Wiggly, and knowing that your grandma shot there, and find out she was shot and killed, oh, you would freak the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And this don't always happen in every neighborhood, but this was an outsider who came into a black neighborhood 200 miles away on a racial rant. There's a difference.
Yes.
So don't ask me, that was there any blood? God damn, are you serious? That's a fucked up question.
Skip over the Caucasian people to make sure that they shot, that he shot the black people only. So don't do that.
Right.
Okay. So
even in my opinion, even with what they're saying, even if it was a fake, right? Even if it is a fake, I think the way that America approaches how we as Africans in America, who built America under unjust situations, I think it's still unfair how we are being, how we are dealt with. But then we are expected to kind of fit in as just, you know, a collective American. You understand, when our ancestors actually built this country, when we're talking about the discussion of reparations, that's definitely a just due conversation. That's a worthwhile conversation. Speaking about what is owed to our ancestors, and there's historical content behind that, and now you have this white boy that has this gun that says this is your reparation. That's saying something bigger. So to our white American friends, our co-workers, how are you helping the collective black folk deal with this long overdue problem? You understand? And if it's not, because when the homosexuals are dealing with their issues, they expect, and a lot of time they have the support of everybody, even if you're just calling them out of their names. You understand? They still have the support of everybody.
No, go ahead. We got to go, but what I'm going to do real quick, I'm going to go ahead and play our soldiers.
Yes,
I'm going to play the song real quick and then let our people that are on the internet know that once it ends, we will do a little overtime here on the phone line. So let's take a quick music break. Thanks to everyone who chimed in on the internet. And we're going to take a music break, and then we'll be right back. You're tuned into the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. B-Wise made a comment or whatever. You know, you got to be careful with these chat rooms because you get some people that jump in here and make some comments. And, you know, and I try to be respectful and let folks, you know, share stuff, but B-Wise made some comments. Black Americans are so helplessly ignorant. So you just put us all into a basket and say all of us are that way, right? But your ass is here on my show. I'm a Black American. I'm not ignorant, stupid ass. You suffer from mind control. You know, I mean, really? And all these people here that are on the air are not ignorant. So I inform them that they are no longer allowed. I am removing all their posts. And if they continue to harass the show, Janet, what is it? Robocalls? Okay. He's harassing my show. I'm going to report him on that shit.
It's people like that that just be looking for attention.
Yeah,
you know, they're looking for some attention.
That's some, yeah. So the thing is that where all his stuff, and he's going to keep trying to post and shit. So I'm not worried about that. I'll definitely make sure he's not allowed. I'll get with Blog Talk and get him removed.
That speaks volumes to what we as black folk in America have had to deal with, and you have people,
right.
You
exactly.
have people like that with that type of mentality that actually
mm-hmm.
teaches in schools. They're actually doctors
mm-hmm.
and nurses. You understand? They're
mm-hmm.
police officers that carry that same mentality with no
mm-hmm.
empathy, with no apology to the wrong
mm-hmm.
that I've seen been performed here in America on black folk. You understand? So it isn't a thing that black folk are now saying, well, hey, we want to kill white folk. And now that is the thing that's now creating, I guess, the opposition. No, we're saying, well, hey, we want to have our fair chance at living. You understand? And we are not seeing the illustration. And we're not having our just due. So we haven't been speaking in a hostile manner. What would cause that type of, you know, combat? What would cause someone to bring that type of opposition, even if it were just to make a spectacle? Even if it were just a spectacle, does that not indicate and show the level of mentality that, you know, even with creating just a spectacle, you know?
Right. Well, I want to quickly say this, I apologize for all that. And we only have just a few minutes. Blog Talk allows me to have just a few minutes after the show. And I want to say this real quick. Hey, you guys, this past Thursday, I was fortunate and honored to attend a great celebration. It was the Black Music Honors. It was held here in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The recipients were the amazing Miss Karen White, Tevin Campbell, Drew Hill, The Whispers. I mean, it was a great event. It's going to air next month, right around Juneteenth. So make sure that you, make sure that you look. I believe it's going to be on Bounce. I think it's Bounce TV, maybe BET. I'm not sure. I haven't heard the total, you know, announcement of what time and what dates. But check your local listings. Be watching. It was a great event. I was just so ecstatic to be in attendance. You guys know Karen has been on the show many a times, and Mark West Gaines, the manager of the Whispers. If you guys seen my pages on Facebook, you see I've posted some photos of the event. But I was fortunate to meet Carl Thomas. He's going to be coming on the show next month. Carl Thomas is a great performance. A lot of them are great performances in honor. So make sure you support this when it comes on. You know, because the thing is that when these shows air, you know, the number of people that watch it, according to the Nielsen ratings or whatever ratings, shows how much we support ourselves, right? So make sure you do check it out. It was the 7th annual event. It was a lot of fun. Okay, so with that being said, let me just go around the board real quick and get all my co-hosts that are still here. I know Timon had to leave. Timon only has about an hour with us at the start of the show. He's not able to sit with us for the second hour. So let me let the lady of the house first speak up and tell me what you thought about it. In fact, no, I'm gonna let you speak last. Let me go with Cotton Campbell. Tell me what you thought about the show and tell everybody about what's coming up on your end here on the TMG.
Well, the show was great. I wish we had more time. I hope we can, you know, make a second show of this. That would be great, an extension of this particular topic, because there's so much that we could cover, and maybe enlighten some people, like the guy that was or the person that was on earlier. But on a lighter and a more exciting note, we have a show that's coming up June the 23rd will be the first day that the evening that the show airs called Let's Talk About It. And it will be me and three other ladies, and we will be talking about everything. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Please join us, you guys.
Okay. Coming up on the 23rd is called Let's Talk About It on the The Michael Gay Network, TMGN. Every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, or is that Central?
Central.
Central time. So Central time will be 8 p.m. Eastern time, right? Right, out of the difference. So 5 p.m. Pacific. So you guys make sure we're going to keep reminding you, look for flyers that will be coming out prior to their first inaugural broadcast. I guess that's the best way to say it. All right. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining the network. Let me go to Officer Crenshaw. Crenshaw, your final thoughts.
I love the show. Other than the, I won't call them ignorant. I'll call them very selfish, because until it happens to them, you know, it's not bothering them. You know, so they're selfish. And Cotton, please send me your information, because, you know, if you talk about everything, I'm all in. You know,
you're in the family of co-hosts. So Janet is always posting what each show in the itinerary, and she's going to post that too, because as the network builds, all of the co-hosts of the TMGS are going to know about everything on the network, including yourself.
Well, okay, sounds good. And Michael, as a man, you're not supposed to swallow.
I'm not. Okay, you
okay,
got a joke here. All right. Okay. I said I swallowed wrong, meaning my spit. But anyway, well, I'm gonna slide away from that damn comment. Okay, so let me go to I'm gonna slide away from that comment. Let me see.
You'll get me later. I know you will.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you back. Trust me. I'm gonna get you back wholeheartedly. Let's see. I got some folks here on the board. And first and foremost, I want to say thanks to all the callers. Thanks to all the people in the chat room. Well, maybe a handful.
Hey, you didn't get me yet, Michael.
I'm gonna get you. You're gonna be last. I want to say thanks to all the callers, thanks to all the people in the chat room. But I'm gonna leave the last word to the lady of the house, who does all the research for the show, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
I don't know about all that, but the show was great, and some of the things was very educational, and some things uplifting, and some things were funny. Michael, I sent you articles about what Biden, the White House, from the whitehouse.gov, from the, what they said, frontline doctors. I sent you articles on that, and I sent you articles that was a political on what people were talking about Biden signing something over. So maybe next week we can talk about those things on the show.
Right. And the thing is that where that's always a plan. That's how come I look at it that way. I look at how folks react, and then you always have that secondary punch. Because like I said, we're going to continue this conversation. See, you open up the door and you let folks walk in and say what they want to say. But then you come back and you share with them what actually is going on. So this was just opening up the door. Because as Cotton just said, this is something we continue to talk about. We can't talk about it all in one day and all in 1 hour. This is an ongoing conversation. So that's exactly what we did. We opened up the door. So that being said, thank you guys. I truly appreciate you. We'll be back next Saturday. And it'll be appropriate for us to do so in the first hour, because next Saturday is going to be our 100th episode, our 100th show. Wow. A lot of folks said that it wouldn't even last a month, a year. But we've been here for 100 shows, and that's amazing. Also, again, like I said, there are some guests or individuals I met this past Thursday. In fact, tonight I was invited to go see Will Downey just an hour before this show. And that person almost had me want to cancel tonight's show to go to it because it's right up the street from where I live at Mabel House. And I said, no, I can't do that. We already have a planned show. You know, I like Will Downey, but sorry, Will, I have to do this. This is more important to me than hear you sing. So with that being said, hey, you guys, thank you so much again. God bless, and I appreciate you all the time. You know, every Saturday we do this for all of you that are listening. We do this every Saturday live on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. It's the Michael Gay Show again. Coming soon is going to be Let's Talk About It with your host, Cotton Campbell, every Thursday at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, and 5 Pacific. All right. Okay. I guess we are done, and we'll see you next week here, and have a blessed remainder of the weekend, and God bless and have a great week. Love you guys. God bless. Peace.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.